Whether you've been following Jesus for decades or days, sometimes we make our walk with God far more complicated than He ever intended. Our times are filled with distraction and noise. Needless opinions abound. And if we're not careful, we can get caught in the trap of performance and trying to win God's approval. Worse yet, we can begin to perform for each other. Today on Insight for Living, Chuck Swindoll teaches from Matthew 5, where Jesus peels back the layers of our own invention and explains our faith in very simple terms. Jesus said, "Simplicity starts from within."
Things changed when Christ stepped on the scene. Up until his time, all the prophets began, "Thus saith the Lord." The Lord warns, his word has spoken, "Thus saith the Lord." When Jesus came on the scene, he inserted, "I say to you." You have heard it written, but I say to you. You see that when you get to the Sermon on the Mount, and that's when he began to encounter the flack from the Pharisees. Notice in the early part of the sermon, he talks about they and them, those who mourn and those who are gentle and those who are peacemakers. When he gets to the impact, he uses the second person. You are the salt and you are the light. When he gets to this section, he uses the first person. I came not to abolish the law. I did not come to abolish, but to fulfill. This is the first reference in the sermon to himself. In fact, if you really wonder what his position is regarding Scripture, look at verse 18. I say to you, again, there's that ego, I, emphatic I say to you, until heaven and earth pass away, not the smallest letter or stroke shall pass away from the law until it is accomplished. Look at 19. Whoever then, this is any one of us, whoever then annuls one of the least of these commandments and so teaches others shall be called least in the kingdom of heaven. Then the converse, but whoever keeps and teaches them shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. What will life be like in the kingdom of heaven? What is life like now in kingdom living? It is a life lived under the authority of Scripture. If you take advantage of it, if you compromise with it, if you fuss around and say it doesn't mean what it says, or it means something other than what it actually says, you don't have any part in kingdom living. Verse 20, I say to you that unless your righteousness surpasses that of the scribes and Pharisees, you shall not enter the kingdom of heaven. Here it gets very, very specific. Up till now, it's been fairly general, but for the balance of this part of the sermon, he addresses six areas where the heart is more important than what appears on the surface. First, murder and anger. That's all we have time for this time. 21 through 26. 21, you have heard that the ancients were told, you shall not commit murder. It's homicide he has in mind. A premeditated taking of another life. The law specifically states that. And as time passed, they added to it, whoever commits murder shall be liable to the court. They were familiar with that. And the Pharisees taught that and only that. Jesus' righteousness surpasses that of the Pharisees. That's why he adds, but I say to you, let's talk about the heart. 22 through 26, he talks about an anger that builds to murder. Hold on to your seats. It is very convicting. I say to you that everyone who is angry with his brother shall be guilty before the court. And whoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be guilty before the Supreme Court. And whoever shall say, you fool, shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. There is justified anger. This is not referring to that. I take it from the crescendo, almost like a musical score would have a crescendo, a growing crescendo, that this is progressive anger, anger that builds to the point of murderous statements and thoughts. For example, whoever shall say to his brother, Raca. Raca is an Aramaic term that means empty, most often used with reference to mental emptiness. You shall be guilty enough to go into the hell of fire. He doesn't say you go to the hell of fire. It brings enough guilt to be like unto that which sends one to the hell of fire. He steps then into two cases that were no doubt imaginary cases, meaning he didn't have someone in mind, but they were very real to life. One took place at the temple and the other took place in the courts. One has a religious flavor and one has a legal flavor. In verses 23 and 24, we have the religious scene. 25 and 26, the legal scene. Once again, I warn you, hold on. This is an amazing section of Scripture. You're going to resist it in the flesh. If, therefore, you are presenting your offering at the altar, and there remember that your brother has something against you, leave your offering there before the altar and go your way. First, be reconciled to your brother, and then come and present your offering. Amazing. Just amazing. This is one of the few times in all the Bible when we are instructed to interrupt our worship with something that is more important. Bringing an offering to the altar is, in today's terms, coming before the Lord in prayer. The scenario goes like this. You get up early Sunday morning, you make plans to get to church so you can find a seat. So you drive in and hopefully locate a parking spot in the parking lot. You come inside, hopefully you find a seat, you sit down in the seat, and you begin to focus on the Lord. Beautiful organ music, some quiet strains of familiar hymns, a few people buzzing about you, talking about things that are encouraging and a bit peaceful scene, different from what you work with, what you live with perhaps. And you begin to connect with your Lord, and you close your eyes. And suddenly flashing across the back of your eyelids is a face or a name. Not just any face, but that person you offended, you remember it well. Spirit of God brings that name, puts that face on your memory, and sets it right there in the crease of your brain. And you try to look around, and you try to go beyond, and you try to sing the words of the hymn, and you're blocked. The Lord is saying in so many words, you got to make that right. Maybe a former business associate. Maybe your partner in life. Maybe a former partner. Maybe somebody on the team that you took advantage of, or somebody at school, or a neighbor. Could be anyone. But you know there's an offense, and what eats your heart out is he knows or she knows that you've offended. Listen to me. Listen to God. There you remember your brother has something against you. This person is a brother beloved, a sister in the family. Leave your offering there. Excuse yourself. Get up from the pew. Walk out the door. Hopefully you'll be able to retrieve your car. Get in your car. Drive away. Connect. He doesn't say wait a week and pray over it, then write a letter. He doesn't say make a phone call and, you know, put up a good effort. He says go and be reconciled first. This is a statement of order. I love the way one lexicographer wrote this. He said, turn his enmity into amity. You have offended someone. This is not a passing offense, a slight thing. This is an offense that is a heavy thing, and it's on your mind, and you know it hasn't been reconciled. Reconcile. Go through. It's a long word, rarely used in the New Testament. It means to go through the process of bringing about reconciliation. And then come and present your offering. Do you need to take care of that? Do you have a lingering offense? That is, someone has a lingering offense against you. We cannot be right with God until we are right with our fellow man. That's the whole gist of this statement. Here's another one. You say, well, I've got a guy, but he's not a Christian. He's more like an opponent. Well, I'm glad you brought him up. Look at verse 25. Make friends quickly with your opponent at law, while you are with him on the way. I take it to mean before it gets to court. If at all possible, solve this thing outside of court. In order that your opponent may not deliver you to the judge, this is, I take this spiritually speaking, it results in a judgment kind of thing, the judge to the officer, and you're thrown into prison, and you eat your heart out till you've paid your last cent emotionally, and who knows, maybe even financially. You like suing people? You like defending your rights? And are you ready with an attorney to get your way? If you're not, you're unusual. This is the day for the lawyer. That's not meant to be an ugly statement against the practice of good law. You know me better than that. I'm talking about people who live on the edge of their seats, just waiting for a chance. It's to the place now where medical doctors run scared because of that. I know church ministers who run scared knowing of the possibility of being held liable. Counselors are scared of what that can mean from counselees that go nuts with this business of suing. And some are Christians who do that. It's an attack against that attitude, that mentality. He says, solve it out of court. Look at your heart. Is there pride there so that you're going to get your way no matter what? Come on. Once again, it's an expression of anger. It goes back to the whole murderous thought. Not allowing estranged feelings to grow and fester and come to a head and fill with pus until the corruption just pours all over the relationship. Jesus spoke with fire in his bones. Let me give you a couple or three thoughts that I think will help make what we've just read stick a little better. I don't have to make it relevant. I want you to see how relevant it is. First, the principles of Scripture go deeper than externals. The principles of Scripture go deeper than externals. If all you get from your church or from your religion or from your Bible study is the surface kind of life, you're missing what it's about. If your heart isn't being convicted and moved to change, there's something missing. There are motives that need to be addressed. There are hidden secrets that you massage. There's a hidden agenda that you don't admit to. Something's wrong. The principles of Scripture go deeper than the externals. That's why Christ spoke with authority and not as the scribes. Second, the potential of anger is greater than words. You can be a killer and never have held a lethal weapon in your hand. You've got one in your mouth. The potential of anger is greater than words. Don't ignore the murder in your voice. I know a man now in his 60s who was insulted publicly by someone, and to this day, it's buried like shrapnel in his brain. He can tell you the very tone of the voice as it came across the room in front of a group, including family members, where he was cut to the heart by a statement that had murder in it. It would have been no greater offense before God if that individual who spoke had pulled out a rifle and shot him in the chest. You may be in an argumentative family. You may have developed the habit of that. You may have a violent, vile temper. I'm telling you, you're missing kingdom living by letting that linger. Come to terms with it. Get control of it. The potential of anger is greater than words. Third, the power of reconciliation is stronger than revenge. The power of reconciliation is stronger than revenge. It is amazing how it will unload the weapon in the other person's hands. When you reconcile with your brother, it is amazing what it does to your heart and his. Amazing. It is like your nervous system is flushed out. It is like you've rid yourself of corruption that has been diseasing your mind. You don't need an attorney for that. You don't need a minister for that. You just need courage. You need guts. And so do I. As I was preparing this message, I thought how unusual it would be, and I was so grateful I had kept short accounts, but how unusual it would be for a preacher preaching this passage to say, "Excuse me, folks, I can't finish. I got some unfinished business I got to take care of." And had the guts to walk out and say, "I'll talk to you next week." It's that kind of courage and honesty this requires. That's why it surpasses the righteousness of the Pharisees. It was told that one of the early saints had this prayer inscribed on his person: "God be in my head and in my understanding. God be in my eyes and in my looking. God be in my mouth and in my speaking. God be in my heart and in my thinking. God be at my end and at my departing." May we bow together. I'd like you to close your eyes and take a look. Any face appear on the back of your eyelids? Any name there? We cannot be right with God until we are right with our fellow man. You can try to focus all you want to on things that are pure and righteous and lovely and of good report, but if you linger with murderous thoughts and you allow someone knowingly to linger with such thoughts against you, you'll know nothing of inner peace, nor should you, nor should I. The only place I know to find help, and this is the only place, is the place called Calvary, the cross of Jesus Christ, where his detergent, the blood from his body, was poured out to wash away the things that make you hold a grudge, the heart condition that you can't handle. You don't have the power, you don't have the force that I mentioned earlier, that authority, that convincing force to scrub up your life. Christ has done that. But you have to connect with him by faith. Saint, I'm including you too. Child of God, it's still the blood that keeps on cleansing us from all sins. You can't operate in the flesh. You can't get that far from the blood and walk in victory. Oh, I think of the homes that could have peace back in them. I think of the relationships between parents and kids. I think of the business establishments that could again run on even keel. Think of neighborhoods where people don't talk and visit anymore because of a lingering offense that you or I created. God be in my head and in my understanding. God, be in my eyes and in my looking. God, be in my mouth and in my speaking. God, be in my heart and in my thinking. And when I come to the end, be there at my departing. If you've never met Christ, or if you've met him a long time ago and there's a distance now, you want to talk to someone that will treat you with respect and dignity, you may want to talk to one of our counselors, some very carefully selected men and women who will happily talk with you and pray with you. This decision is a heavy one, and some of you need to deal with it. Come on. Lord God, there are times that there is a sense of anointing when your Spirit has moved upon a passage of Scripture and from it has touched us in practical areas where we live. This is one of those times. The worst possible thing we can do is ignore your prompting. Give some this very day the courage to begin a process of reconciling. Yes, courage. The strength of character to follow through. Guard us from foolish extremes, thinking that all anger is sinful. For our Lord himself spoke with great anger against the sinfulness of his day and the hypocrisy of people. But when we step across that line, Lord, and move into the realm of murderous statements, stop us and be in our mouth and in our speaking. Thank you for your word today, which lives and abides forever, right down to the very yod and tittle. In Jesus' name, amen.
A convicting message on Insight for Living today, based on Jesus' words in Matthew chapter 5. Chuck Swindoll titled his talk, Simplicity Starts From Within. You can visit us online at insightworld.org. We'll hear a closing question from Chuck in just a moment. In addition to the Sermon on the Mount, the book of Matthew describes a number of firsthand encounters with Jesus. And near the end of Matthew's account, Jesus delivered what's commonly known as the Great Commission, to go into all the world and make disciples. Well, that's become our compelling passion at Insight for Living, and we're inviting you to join us in this worthy effort. Would you be listening to God's voice to see what he's prompting you to do? How is he asking you to apply your resources and your skills toward fulfilling the Great Commission? As he leads you to partner with us at Insight for Living, we'd be so grateful. Your gift before December 31st will be applied directly toward providing Chuck's teaching on your station, Making Disciples Right Here, and around the world as well. Please make sure that you take a few moments to contact us today. Stay tuned. I'll give our contact information in just a moment. Chuck?
Let me ask you a question. Are you one of the 97? Or one of the three? Okay, sounds like a trick question, right? Well, it isn't. Let me explain. The other day I heard a fascinating statistic, and it made me think of you. In a meeting with other ministries like ours, one of the gentlemen said that they had conducted some research on their audience. They discovered that for every 100 people listening, only 3 people actually respond. Let me say that again so you can grasp it. Over the period of 1 month, for every 100 people listening, only 3 people call, write, or go online to give. That means only 3% respond. Now, isn't that astounding? 97% of the people who listen this very day never pick up the phone, never write a letter, never give a donation online. So, are you one of the 3? If so, thanks so much. You're providing Insight for Living for the majority who have yet to respond. And if you're one of the 97, isn't it time to do your part? We'd love to hear from you.
You can actively participate in the Great Commission with us by making disciples through Insight for Living. And as you do, I know you'll have a sense of deep satisfaction and great joy. December 31st is our deadline, and your gift will make all the difference. Thanks so much for stepping forward to give a generous year-end donation so that all can hear about the baby Jesus who makes all things new.
Well, give us a call right now at 1-800-772-8888 if you're listening in the United States, or go online to insight.org. That's insight.org. And when you give a special year-end gift today, we'll be sending a CD message from Chuck called What If God Chooses You to Do Something Great? In this sermon, Chuck tells his personal story about God's calling on his life. And as you hear Chuck teach, you'll discover how to find God's will for your life too. When you give, we'll say thanks by providing the CD message from Chuck, What If God Chooses You to Do Something Great? If you're listening in the United States, call 1-800-772-8888 or go online to insight.org. I'm Dave Spiker. The Christmas celebration begins tomorrow when Chuck Swindoll talks about God's astonishing love here on Insight for Living.
The preceding message, Simplicity Starts From Within, was copyrighted in 1988, and the sound recording was copyrighted in 2014 by Charles R. Swindoll, Inc. All rights are reserved worldwide.